This is the 30th day of June 1976, and Gerda and I are in Des Moines, Iowa, interviewing. What is your name, sir?
Gary Jensen.
And what is your Scandinavian heritage?
Well, my father and mother were both born in Denmark and came over in their teens. Then when my first mother, who died when I was less than a year old from the flu epidemic, and 4 years later my dad remarried, but to another Danish immigrant. My present mother came over to this country when she was 5 or 6 years old.
Approximately what year did your father and your, quote, real mother, unquote, come to this country?
Well, they didn't come together. They met in this country. So my dad must have come over here, I'm guessing, but I think he came about 1908, because I know he was a student here at Grandview College in 1909.
And your mother, about the same time?
I would imagine so, probably around the same period of time, but she was younger when she came over.
About how old was your father, do you know?
My dad was 16.
Do you know why your father or your mother came to this country?
Well, my dad came over alone, and I think it was basically because they thought the opportunities for a youngster were far greater in this country than they were in Denmark at that time. Being one of a large family, there was just a certain amount of opportunities that existed. And then there were, I think, two uncles that were already here, so that he did have some encouragement. And
do you know how he got the money for the train fare and the boat fare?
Oh, I believe from his family.
From his family.
Right. Now, I have never really found that out from him. I know he came over with very little money, and he didn't know the English language at all. In fact, one of the stories he tells on the train coming from New York into Racine, Wisconsin, where he originally settled, was that he would look around a restaurant and find somebody eating what he would like, and then he had learned the expression just like that, and then he would point to it, and that way he would get what he wanted. But he arrived in Racine with 50 cents in his pocket.
What was his name?
Andrew Jensen.
And do you remember your grandfather's name in the old country, his father's name?
Soren.
Jensen.
Soren Damgaard Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
Damgaard.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was wondering, how many brothers and sisters did your father have?
They were 11 children.
And how many of the 11 came to this country?
Two. And then in, oh, one of the years immediately following World War II, a couple of them came over to visit. And then one brother, who had been very active in the underground movement in Denmark during World War II, met a widow in this country, and she visited him in Denmark, and he finally ended up here in the United States. Which was rather unfortunate, because he never adjusted to the U.S. He came over when he was too old to make the adjustment.
What kind of work was your father in Denmark before he came to this country?
Well, he was only 16, so. Mm-hmm. But he had been brought up in his grandfather's home on a farm, so he was doing.
Do you know what area of Denmark your father came from?
Jylland.
Jylland. Do you know the town by any chance, the nearest town?
Yes, it was around Horsens. But it was a small town just south of Horsham.
What do you know about the circumstances of your mother coming?
None whatsoever.
None whatsoever. Do you know where she even came from?
No. In fact, we really lost touch with my mother's family after she passed away.
What about your second mother?
She came from Copenhagen.
And what was the reason for her coming to this country?
Well, her father was a Mason, and again, it was strictly the opportunities that prevailed in this country as compared to what was available in Denmark.
What was her father's name?
Chris Summers.
And what was your real or first mother's father's name, do you know?
Soren Hansen.
Soren Hansen. Mm-hmm. Where did your mother, or how did your mother, your second mother, come to this country?
She came as a young girl.
By boat?
By boat, right.
And do you know what her port of entry was?
No.
Do you know how your father got to this country?
He came by boat and he came into New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Went through Ellis Island.
I see.
Did your father ever tell you anything about what went on the boat or circumstances on the boat, the living and conditions on the boat?
My father never told me anything. In fact, I had been a student here at Grandview College for over a year before I found out that my father had attended here in 1909. He was one of the school that just never talked about himself and firmly believed that when his children graduated from high school, they now were on their own, and he stayed out of our business. Now, we were great friends. There's no man I have greater respect for. But it was just that he was not very communicative. I found out much more about our family in Denmark when an uncle came over here to visit and stayed with us, and we sat up all night, and he gave me all the history of my dad and my dad's family.
Do you know how your father and your mother met?
Oh, yes. They were both active in the Danish Lutheran Church. My dad was a excellent tenor and sang in the choir. I think that's how it all came about.
What area was this in the unit?
Racine, Wisconsin.
Racine, Wisconsin.
Right.
What kind of work did your father do?
He was originally a mason, a bricklayer.
Mm-hmm.
Then, during the Depression in the 30s, there was no work to be had, and so we moved from Racine, Wisconsin, which was a very heavily populated, it was very heavily populated by Danes, and we moved to a small town in northern Minnesota called Askell, where my dad became a mechanic in the garage of a cooperative. And then we were there for 2 years, and then he was made general manager of the cooperatives in Minneapolis, so we moved to Minneapolis. Finally, he became a labor relations director for a large cooperative oil company, and then gradually worked into labor mediation work.
How old were you when he moved to Askell?
I was a sophomore in high school.
Would you describe Askell for us?
In a capsule, we realize it can't be a long one, but...
Well, it was a rather traumatic experience, but proved to be a very delightful experience. Askell was a population of about 300 people, and at that time, I suppose, there were only 10 non-Danes in the whole town. The name of the school was the Hans Christian Andersen School. The total life of the community centered around the Danish Lutheran Church. and then also the Danish Brotherhood. But it was a new experience for me because there was only 90 students in the high school. But we soon got acquainted and felt very much at home. Mm-hmm.
Make a comparison, if you would, between your Danishness at ASCO and after ASCO, and the Danishness you had before.
How Danish was your home before you moved to ASCO?
Well, ours was a rather unusual situation in that we attended the Danish church, and we even, as kids, went to Bible school where it was in the Danish language. The unfortunate part of it was that my brother and I couldn't understand Danish. And it made it rather a futile exercise, but as we look back, why, it was also a delightful one. But my mother and father never spoke Danish in the home. My dad was one of these Danes that came over here and studied the English language. If you were to listen to him today, you could not hear one trace of the Danish accent.
Did he speak any English before he came?
None whatsoever.
Did he ever mention as to what tools or what methods he used to teach himself English?
Well, what happened was that he came here to the college, which at that time was basically a folk school. During the winter time, it was flooded with Danish immigrants who came to study the English language. He had an uncle who was on the staff here at the school by the name of Peter Hornsilt, who later on, by the way, moved to Solvang. And he taught English, so he was very interested also in his nephew's progress, and they just worked on it together, as I understand.
So there was no particular problem there in learning the English?
No, there didn't seem to be, and he really worked at it. The strange part of it is my aunt, who came over here at about the same time, my dad's sister, speaks to this day with a broad Danish accent. They came out of the same family, the same background, and you can hear that she's Danish the minute she opens her mouth, whereas my dad, you'd never know.
Did she come to Grandview?
No.
Did your father and mother become citizens?
Oh, yes.
And did your father become a citizen before your mother died, so that she also became a citizen?
Now, they were both citizens before that.
And then your stepmother also became...
Oh, yes, she became, because she came over as a young girl. Went into the family.
Did your father or either of your mothers, as far as you know, participate in politics?
Oh, my dad was very active. My dad, when he was a bricklayer in Wisconsin, was vice president of the Wisconsin State Federation of Labor.
So he
and
was
as
also
such, he also got involved in a good deal of the political efforts of the time.
So he was a union member also.
Oh, yes. And then, when we moved to Minneapolis, when he was an official of the cooperative movement, the cooperative movement at that time was going strong in the 30s, the consumer cooperative. And so he immediately became active in that area too, and that also involved many of the unions who were working to help build up the cooperative at that time.
Did he ever talk to you about any of his political heroes?
No, I don't think he was much of a hero worshiper of any kind. He was a very pragmatic man. In fact, the nickname they had for him in Minneapolis was the Imperturbable Dane. And that's why he made such an excellent labor negotiator.
Yes.
Nothing bothered him, but I don't think... Now, he was a strong Humphrey man, but then so was I at that time. I was on Humphrey's committee in Minneapolis when he ran for mayor, when he first ran for senator, while I was out beating the bushes.
Are you sure there wasn't perhaps someone he really admired in politics?
Rather than to be a hero to him.
Yes, I think his main interest and respect was for the La Follette family.
And the
all of the La Follettes, mm-hmm. who, of course, were very active in the progressive movement at that time in Wisconsin.
Did your father ever run for office, for a political office?
None that I know of.
Even as far as being on the school board?
No, I don't believe so.
What
he was too busy with the cooperative.
Yeah. What about yourself? Have you ever run for any kind of political office? Or
run for election to political office?
Yeah, I stood up for election.
No, most of my assignments have come through, in the political arena, have come through appointments. At the present time, I'm on the State Board of Accountancy for Iowa by the governor's appointment. I'm on the board of the Iowa Lutheran Hospital, which is an election, but it's an election by the board of the hospital. And then I've been very active in the Lutheran Church of America. At the present time, I'm on the board of publication of the LCA.
You told us that your father didn't encourage the speaking of Danish in your home. Did you, however, observe any kind of Danish traditions in your home in the way of you observing holidays or any other kind of traditions?
You name them, we observed them.
Christmas?
Christmas was totally Danish type of festivity. We celebrated Christmas Eve or Juleaften. The night before was when we hung up our stockings. That was Lille Juleaften. We followed all the routine of having Oisenkoit with a nut in it, and whoever got the nut in the Oisenkoit got a present, extra present, and we danced around the Christmas tree. And as children, we were never allowed into the living room to see the Christmas tree until Christmas Eve.
That was definitely a Danish custom. Were there any other particular days through the year that you celebrated that an American child might not have celebrated?
Yeah, I haven't done it for so long now, but... when we knocked the cat out of the barrel, what was that?
Fastelavn.
Yeah.
You celebrated...
No, we did that in both Racine and Askell. In fact, we did it here on campus for many, many years. When our students were primarily of Danish descent. Well, that was still there.
Did your mother do a lot of Danish cooking? You give us the names of the foods you had at Christmas time. Did she, in her daily cooking, use Danish recipes?
Oh, yes. Almost entirely, I believe. Well, she was a great cook, and so she went far afield, but her major interests were the Danish dishes.
Do you know what kind of handicrafts that she might have engaged in that also reflected a Danish heritage?
Well, she did... Danish embroidery and I think that was about it. A lot of tatting as I remember it.
Did your father have any Danish handicrafts that he participated in? Did he knit?
No. My dad was a terrific handyman. He could fix anything. And in fact, I didn't know there was such a thing as a Chevrolet or Ford until I got into high school, because we never owned anything but oddball automobiles. and he would then buy a Rio or a Rickenbacker or a Moon or an Oakland and run it into the garage and tear it down from scratch and rebuild it. And that's what he spent his evenings doing, which was very fortunate because that gave him an opportunity to work during the Depression when there was no work for bricklayers.
How big a family were you as you were growing up?
Well, we were four children, three boys and one girl. But my brother and I are only a year and a half apart. And then my sister came along way late. And then my youngest brother graduated a week after I, or my youngest brother was born a week after I graduated from high school.
Would you give us their names?
My older brother is Ralph, younger brother is Dick, and my sister is Lois.
Did you or your brothers have part-time jobs as you were growing up? Were there any?
Always.
Always. Could you tell us about some of the kind of the work that a child could do to earn money in your childhood?
Well, we delivered newspapers. We sold magazines from door to door. We would go out and weed during the spring, and then the summer we could go out and weed onions for 10 cents an hour. I remember that magnificent wage.
Were you expected to contribute part of that money to the family, or was that something that was yours to do with as you pleased?
No, that was ours.
That was.
We never, as I remember, had to kick in to the coffers of the family. The only thing is that we were expected to make our own spending money. We didn't get an allowance. Partly because I don't think he had enough money to give us an allowance. He was having all he could do to put food on the table.
How much encouragement did your father give you and your brothers and sister to go on to further education than high school?
Verbally, none. But by example and by building up within us an interest in all of these matters, I think he gave us a great deal of encouragement. I think one of the things that happens if you have good books in your home, if your parents see to it that you have magazines at your fingertips to read and things of that kind are what does it. I don't think it helps for the father to say, well, I want you to go on to college, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. Mm-hmm. My dad always, I think, made it quite clear to us that that this was up to us, and the main thing, we all got a feeling, but how it came about, I don't know. We got a feeling that we were expected to perform up to our capacities and use our talents as God had given them.
Then you and your brothers and sisters all went to further education.
No, that's the strange part of it. I went on, but I worked for 3 years after I graduated from high school in a factory till I had earned enough money that I felt I could now start in college. But to me, there was never a question of it. This is what I was going to do. My dad's total contribution to my college life was, financially, was $30. I once ran into a bind making a rent on an apartment up at the University of Minnesota, and he loaned me $30 and then forgot about it later on. So that was the extent of it. But he still had a great influence on it. My older brother, actually, this was during the Depression, and he was 2 years older than I was, and I think he felt all of this a lot more than I did, perhaps. And he quit school when he was a senior in high school. But he could now buy and sell me 15 times.
And then the two younger ones, did they go on to
college? Sister went into secretarial work right out of high school and then got married a few years later. My younger brother came here as a student after I was on the staff, and then he graduated from the University of Minnesota and is now the business manager for Lutheran Social Service here in Des Moines. Came back to Des Moines after he'd worked a number of years as an accountant elsewhere.
You spoke of your mother passing away during the flu epidemic. Do you know of any other serious illnesses that affected your family as you were growing up?
That was it.
That was it.
My dad is 85. I don't think he's ever been sick in his life. He's had the usual colds, but I don't remember him ever having any serious illness. However, my mother, present mother, in the words of my dad, has been enjoying ill health for years.
Now, when you had a cold or toothache or anything like that, were there home remedies that your mother
or father
used?
Oh, we were a great cod liver oil family. I remember that darn cod liver oil as a kid was supposed to cure everything. And I don't know, I always had the theory that they thought it would make you live longer, and my idea was it wouldn't make you live any longer, but it would sure seem a lot longer.
What would your mother put on a cut on the arm or the leg?
Iodine.
Iodine.
Did you have any particular favorite games or toys as you were growing up?
No, the same game that I have now. I started playing golf, I think, when I was 9 or 10 years old, and for all of us in our family, that's been the game. I don't think there wasn't anything very nationalistic about that.
How did a young Dane in this country fall in love with golf?
Proximity. I think we lived within two blocks of a golf course, and we discovered in a hurry that that was one thing we could do. If we got up early enough, we could sneak onto the golf course and didn't have to pay. And if we'd had to pay, we couldn't have played. So that, I don't really know what started it, but I know we got going very early and drove my mother to distraction because we would be up at daylight and play golf before school started and come home with our feet soaking wet because the dew would still be on the grass.
Did you ever caddy?
Constantly. That was another way of making money, by the way.
Were there any musical instruments in your home? And if so, who played them?
My mother played the piano. My dad played the flute. As kids, we either studied piano or violin. I think that was about it. Then my dad had a beautiful tenor voice and was in constant demand as a soloist to sing at funerals and weddings and church functions and things of that kind.
Well, anyone who sings probably also likes poetry. Did you ever learn any poetry from him that you could even recite for us today? And I'll tell you...
In Danish.
In Danish. The reason that I'm asking is that somebody in the future might like to hear what your Danish sounds like, if you know any Danish.
Oh, I can handle Danish in a conversational way. If somebody will speak to me in Danish, I can understand them very readily.
So rather than maybe...
But I would usually reply if I could in English, but I would struggle along with it. During the days we went to Bible school in Danish, we naturally picked up. Now, I used to... But I think what happened then, we got really involved in the Danish community, such as the singing and Askel, and even in Minneapolis, the group we were with, for the Danish.